And I'm not going to come up here and speak like Ethel. I'm going to get up here and do what we've been doing for the last 6 years in America to awaken the body of Christ to this prophecy. So 1991 is when this guy got baptized with the Holy Spirit and gave my life to the Lord. When this encounter happened in September 15th of 1991, the Lord set this guy on fire. I mean, I went into a realm after that encounter with the Lord, instantly went into a lifestyle of fasting and eating the scroll. I was so hungry for the Lord, and he changed me and purged me in a moment. I was a drinker, a fighter, raised with seven boys, you know, with four sisters, a fighter, a drinker, a partier, all that kind of stuff. That was my lifestyle. Drugs, all that was going on. And this encounter that happened in 91, God purged me in the moment. I never had to work on any of that stuff. It was like going, I came out of that encounter with the Lord and said, oh my gosh, you changed my life. And so the Holy Spirit took me right into a life of fasting where I would just go on water fast for days. It wasn't a hunger strike against the Lord, but it was just, I mean, I had to learn this, you know. And I would do it for days, and I would just go, and I would eat the Word of God. And when I would get hungry, I would just take this and just get in my prayer closet and just start reading. The hunger pains would just go away. I was eating a meal, you know what I'm saying? And that was my lifestyle. I was creating an atmosphere around myself that I didn't know. When anybody got in that vicinity of about 100-yard range and they got in there, they were going to hear my testimony. They were going to hear what Jesus did for me. Where that lifestyle has... I've led many, many young men and women to the Lord out in the marketplace, outside the four walls, many out there, with signs and wonders and miracles and healings, where I've seen the Lord through just being obedient. Nobody told me not to do it, so I was just, when I would read it, I just would believe it. From broken ankles being healed, stage 4 cancer, eyesight restored, hurt backs, hernias, you know, eyesight restored, all these kind of things. I was just doing it, you know, and I was watching God do this stuff through me. And so Mindy and I were a part of a church, a smaller church back in the 90s, and then God moves us to a larger church of about 5,000. And in about the end of the year of the 90s, my wife and I went through a little processing time with the Lord. We were prophesied that this was coming, and we were like, you know, to set that up on the shelf, and then the processing time came. And what that processing time looked for us is I was a business owner, and the whole thing collapsed and shut down. We lost our home, we lost vehicles, we lost everything, and the Lord took us into a very, very rich season in Him. He got a hold of my wallet. And, you know, you get a hold of somebody's wallet, it's like, you got my attention now, you know. And so that processing time took about 5-6 years that we were just laboring with the Lord, going, what are you doing? What are you doing, you know? And in that processing time, I kind of got away from the fasting all the time and the every day before the Lord and really pressing in and going into a 2-hour just on my knees before the Lord crying out, Lord, Lord, do something, Lord, do something. In that time, Mindy and I were getting many words from people saying, man, you guys got a ministry of your own someday. You guys are forerunners. You guys are generals. You know, all those words you get, and you're just like, when, Lord? When, you know? And so the year 2005 comes along, and I hear the Spirit of the Lord just whisper in my ear. And He said, remember, and I kind of got backed off from all of it, and just, I mean, the cares of life, we really went through it big time. And He said, Denny, I'm drawing you back to your first love. He says, I want you to devote your time back to me. And when I heard that voice, I was like going, oh, I miss you. Yes, yes, yes. And so I just said, okay. And I just got real before the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a commitment to you. This was 2005. And I said, I'm going to give you 1 to 3 hours every single morning without fail, every morning. 1 to 3 hours with fasting, with prayer, every single day. No matter what comes up, you're getting that, and I'm going to do that until your return or until the breath leaves, you know? And so I started that, and about a year or so into that, I mean, I'm just getting messed up with the Lord. I mean, He's really showing up in those quiet times where I'm just going to, you know, most of the time, only those times you're crunched for, you know, I owned a business, you know, But most of the time it would go 3, 4, sometimes all day long of just this time with the Lord. And it was, if I could put a marker in my Christian walk with the Lord, that day marked me and it shifted everything in my Christian walk with the Lord. I mean, everything. I can look at that pivotal point. I mean, I got the 91 thing, but this was a marker. It's like I can look back and say, wow, right there, Lord, when I made that commitment every day, you shifted everything. And so, excuse me. So, a year into that, as I'm really pressing in, it was not this hunger strike, it wasn't a religious thing, but I was hungry for Jesus, like your prayer this morning. God, we're hungry. We need something. You know, that was my heart. I was crying out, God, I can't do religion no more. I'm done with religion. God, let's do something. Let's do something. And so I was just, my heart's cry was, God, I feel like you're going to do something now with my wife and I. And so my heart, I was positioning my heart, said, God, then let's make a mark in the earth, is my heart. I was positioning, I said, let's make a mark. Because, I mean, the things, so many things were highlighted, and I was, like, really resisting the Lord because I felt like a church. Lord, no, not a church. I don't want to do another one on another corner and doing this thing, you know, because my heart at the time, I was just going, Lord, there's 41,000 different denominations in the earth. Do we need another one, you know? And so, I mean, I was just talking to the Lord like this, you know, just being real with God. In my heart, though, I was like going, God, let's make a mark. Let's make a mark because your son is worthy of this. Let's make a mark for your son's name. And so about 2 years into that, that's when the Lord just, he drew us out of the box for a season. He said, Denny, I'm drawing you out for a season. I'm going to draw you out of the box. Not that we didn't have church community and have believers over and have church in my home, you know, where I've had some crazy, amazing encounters of people giving their lives to the Lord in my house. Of just the weightiness of his presence in my home, of going on like 40-day media fast, going on the coffee fast, going on water fast, and just saying, God, you got me on the floor, eating carpet. God, let's do this, you know. And so he took us out of the church stream for a while, but we were just pressing in even more. The fasting got more intense. I mean, this guy is about $175. I used to be about 15, 20 pounds heavier in this. And I just made this cry to the Lord. I said, God, really, let's make a mark. And the Lord says, Denny, I'm drawing you out for a season, and I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to extract religion out of you. I'm going to do many things. I'm going to get a hold of your heart. And so I was like going, we're ready, God. We're ready. My wife and I are ready. So my wife and I, we were web streaming some stuff, and we were just, one night we just sat down, the atmosphere in our home, we were watching old revivals and watching stuff, and just this is all we were doing for months and months and months, getting before the Lord, God, let's make a mark. And we were watching something back in about 2009. And as we're listening to the thing, this thing is just jumping off the internet on my wife and I. I mean, it's just boom. They're talking about the orphans, and they're talking about the fatherless. And I mean, this stuff is just like, boom, nailing my wife and I. We're just like going, you know, and just like, all right, God, okay, we get it. We shut the laptop down, and 3 days later, for 3 days, the Holy Spirit is just whispering in my ear, adoption, a baby. Adoption, the fatherless. And I'm over here just going, no, God, I want to birth something powerful in the earth. Lord, let's make a mark for your son's name. He's worth it. And he says, you want to make a mark? You want to make a mark? We're going to make a mark. So for 3 days, I'm hearing this. And my wife is messed up too, but we didn't talk when we shut it. We just went to bed, you know, and did, you know, for 3 days, I keep hearing the Lord whisper adoption in my ear. And so I grabbed Mindy 3 days later, and I said, take her into my prayer closet, which was our fireplace room. I said, honey, I said, you got to hear this. I said, I keep hearing the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear, adoption, a baby, the fatherless. I keep hearing over and over and over. And Mindy says, oh my gosh, I've been hearing the same thing. And so we just said, all right, Lord. We grabbed hands. He said, we're just going to give you our yes. We have no clue. This was not on our radar. I mean, we weren't like going, okay, maybe we could adopt, maybe we could start a church. Maybe adoption was not on our grid or our radar at all. Because my wife and I, we had just finished raising our three older children. We're in our 40s. We just take our youngest to an internship. And so my wife and I are empty nesters for 3 months, and God's breathing this on us. I'm like going, adoption, I just did that. You know, the whole rearing your children, raising them up. And so, but the Lord was speaking this so clear, and I had no grid of what he was doing 6.5 years ago, 2009. So we give God our yes. We have no idea how to adopt. We don't have any idea what do we need to do. You got to get a background check. You got to have fingerprints. You got to do a home study. You got to put a profile together. Didn't know any of that. So we're putting this all together. And October 22nd of 2009 was our launch date. That's my birthday, October 22nd. We said, okay, God, here we go. All right, you can stop this, you know, because we had no grid. And so we just said, boom, we're sending it out on October 22nd, my birthday, to market. And exactly 9 months to the day, July 22nd of 2010, our little Lear Injustice was born. 9 months, the full term of a pregnancy. Yeah. And that's just, we're just getting it going here, guys. And, I mean, God didn't have to do that, but he did. And he was getting my attention, because when God does stuff like that, you think, oh, that's what a coincidence. There's no such thing as coincidence. God's getting our attention at all times. We're just kind of dull sometimes. Excuse me. I'm dull. So it's just like, Lord, I don't want to be dull. I don't want to have a seared conscience in this hour. And remind you of our heart's position before this, that we were crying out, going, God, let's make a mark. And so this was like crazy to me that God was saying adoption. Because I was still like going, Lord, a ministry and all this kind of stuff. And the Lord just says, hang on, Denny. We're going to go somewhere, Denny. And I want you to pay attention as a father. I want you. Before Malachi was like this massive scripture in the last time to me, you know, fulfillment of that prophecy. And so we get little Liren home. I talk with my hands. I'm loud. I move, guys. So anyways, we get little Liren home. And my wife and I, we're just wooed by the Lord. I mean, my heart is getting messed up, going, oh my gosh, what are you doing here, God? I'm messed up on this, you know, with just having a baby again, you know? And so we get Liren home, and Mindy says, honey, I got the night watch. You know, you're still working 10, 15 hours a day. And so I just automatically just said, well, I'll take the morning watch. I'm self-employed. I own a business. And so I'll take Liren in the morning and go in when I want. And so that was our heart. We both did it. No matter what Mindy tells you guys, you know, if you talk to her later, we labored in this together. And God wanted a father's labor in this. He said, Denny, you stay connected on this. We're going to do something in the earth, before I had to even a grid for all this. And so anyways, now we got little Liren home. And so Mindy, I mean, we're laboring at night with this, a brand new baby, trying to figure out, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? So I get Liren in the morning. And I remember the first several days, I walk into my prayer closet. Remember that commitment that I made 2005? Well, I walk into this prayer closet with Liren, and I step in there, and I'm like going, oh, wait a minute, Father. I made a commitment to you. This is now 2010. I made a commitment back in 2005. You and me, undisturbed, no interruption, just you and me. And now I'm doing baby. And I'm having this conversation with the Lord in my head going, I messed up. I double booked here. You know? And this is where the Lord, the most powerful encounters that I've ever had with the Lord, and I've had some off the charts ones that I haven't shared. The Lord ushers in the room and says, oh no, Denny. He said, this is the fatherless. These are the little ones. Denny, you went from the study of my word to the doing of my word. This is the un This is undefiled religion before you. Speaking to James 1:27, I'm like going, oh my gosh, Lord. I mean, I'm having this conversation with the Lord, and I'm like looking at Leon going, I went from the study of your word to the doing of your word. Yes, this is the fatherless. I love them. I will move mountains to get them into the homes of my people. And I'm like going, oh my gosh, Lord. He says, Denny, when you feed little Liren and you feed her and give her a bottle, you feed me. When you clothe little Liren, you clothe me. And I mean, all the scriptures are coming to my mind. I'm like going, whoever receives one of these little ones in my name, not only receives me, but receives my Father. I mean, these scriptures, I'm like going, so I received her in, I received you in, and if I receive her, I receive you into my home. And he's like, yes. And he's like, when you give her a drink, you give me a drink. When you kiss her on the cheek, you kiss my cheek. And I'm weeping over this stuff. I'm repenting for weeks going, oh my gosh, Lord. Lord, I read past this stuff in here. I read past the James 1:27. I read past the Psalm 10, the Psalm 82, where he tells us to do justice. I read past that stuff like Heidi Baker can take another 100. No, Heidi Baker's just got a revelation that we don't have. And so as I'm just meditating with the Lord, I'm just like going, God, you are messing me up. Matthew 25 stuff, you know, where he just says, when did I take a stranger in? Denny, you brought that stranger in. When you clothe these little ones, when they're naked, you're clothing me. I mean, this is Matthew 25 stuff. And I'm like going, oh my gosh, Lord, we always interpret that the homeless guy on the street that's naked, here, let me clothe you. Anybody in here ever clothed somebody out on the streets that is naked? Anybody? Okay, we have one. But when we're talking about the fatherless, these are the innocent ones. They can't clothe themselves. And they can't feed themselves. I mean, the Lord was messing me up where I went into a deep repentance and just said, God, we throw these away here through abortion. And it's like, I mean, it's on all of them. They're fatherless if they're unwanted in here. And they're sitting on death row going to an abortion clinic. And that's where the body of Christ, that we need to step right in the middle of injustice and say, if you don't want that baby, ma'am, you give her to me because I got room at my table for one more. It's not just going to be me and my wife sitting here and eating. It's not going to be me and my three little ones. Here, scoot over, Lear and Kai and Ayla. Here we go. Here, this is your big brother or your little big brother, you know. And you have some color to you? Amazing. We love it. And just break off this thing that we look at this, because when we look at the scriptures, we look at it individually of what the Father is speaking to us, and then we look at it corporately and just say, what can this body do? And again, remember, this is not about guilt. And wipe your brow. Not everybody's going to adopt. You know, but we have the money people. We have the families that can adopt. We have the intercessors. Get on it, intercessors. This is a movement in the earth, and we want to partner with the Lamb of God and say, we will do this, Father. We will not deny you any longer. Because I can't find orphanage in here. Can you? Orphanage is not in here. I long to hear the day when an orphanage used to be something. Remember when there were orphanages and this is how we did it? But we would get in the middle because see, we're his hands and feet in the earth, are we not? Hands and feet in the earth. He said, I will not leave you orphans. And so we look at these little ones and say, there's no way. I have his DNA. I won't leave you orphans. You know what I'm saying? In the body of Christ, we are the key to unlock the door. All we got to go is go do it. We just got to say, oh, orphanage or foster system, come here. Yeah, we did a lot of paperwork, but it was worth it. Come here, Daddy's got you. It's that easy that we would just do something about the crisis in the earth, these little ones. And it's soul winning 101. We don't have to convince these little ones to come to the Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed. We don't have to convince them because we're just going to raise a godly seed. Jesus, here's your inheritance. Here they are. 150 million children globally on the earth. And the church and the bride and Father is awakening according to that prophecy. The first 6 months in my prayer closet when I was able to, the Holy Spirit, the highlighter was out. the Holy Spirit from cover to cover, taking me from James 1:27, taking me to Isaiah 1, Malachi, Matthew 25, Matthew 18, Psalm 10, Psalm 68, Psalm 82, Job 29. All these scriptures, the Lord just writing this stuff on my heart. And I'm just sort of going, Lord, this is amazing. And as I'm journaling this stuff for months, you know, Mindy and I, 6 months into it, we just said, we're signing up again, Father. This is justice. And that was one of the things that I kept hearing all along. Denny, I want justice. You tell my children, I want justice for this injustice. I want my children to get in the middle of the injustice and just say, here, I'll take the blows for this little one. No, you're not getting this one. And so anyways, 6 months into it, we called the agency again. Audrey, God is really messing us up. We're going to do this again next year. So we want to renew our home study. Now, Liren is only 6 months old. Long story short, Audrey says, well, guys, funny you're calling right now because we have a situation on our desk right now. We have a set of twin girls. I don't know if anybody's seen my beautiful girls here this morning. They're back in the children's room. He said, there's a set of twin girls. They're in the womb, in the mother. They're due any week. One of them has to have open heart surgery, not expected to live, and we cannot find a match. Everyone has said no. They only want to take the good one and blah, 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 blah. And we're just like, huh, Father. I'm just getting my second wind, Papa, you know? And so, but we just said, you know what, God, you know before the foundation of the world, if these babies are ours, you know this. So we just said, God, we're going to give you our yes, and you'll work out all the details. Just gave him our yes. 24 hours later, we get the call. The twins are yours if you'll take them. We said, we will take them. 3 weeks later, six-month-old at home, February 4th of 2011, little Kaya and Ayla were born. Preemies, 4 pounds, 11 ounces, 4 pounds, 12 ounces. Kaya has to spend the first 7 weeks in the hospital, has to have that open heart surgery, no matter how much I laid hands on her and fasted and prayed. Like, no, but we're here for you, you know. And so now we got 3 babies at home. And now we're laboring. This is 2011. I mean, if you can imagine, 3 babies, you know, and still working full time. And that's where the Lord just really started speaking to us and just going, Denny, I mean, because I was looking at my journal work after 2 years into this, and I'm just like, this stuff is off the charts, and I shared it with multiple pastors. And man, Denny, I've never heard it down this vein before, but this is really good. And Mindy and I had nobody helping us. We were just like, we're gonna do this. And so so we have the 3 babies. A year and a half into it, the Lord just says, Denny, and made it really clear, I have birthed the message in you, Denny. I want you to shut your business down. Cold turkey, shut it down, and I want you to start cold calling pastors, and you watch what I do. And that's exactly what we did. We shut it down, and I just started meeting with pastors, like I did your pastor. And I would meet with these pastors, and they would weep in their office going, oh my gosh. And the fear of the Lord is on it, you know. And the Lord just said, well, you know, many of the pastors, we're not doing this. I know, but Father says he's going to wake us up in this last hour that we can partner with him on this. And they were like, when can you speak? And make a long story short, you know, 2013, Mindy and I, we're from Michigan. And we were booked every Sunday of the year, almost every Sunday of the year, in different denominations, different churches, releasing this message on the body of Christ into communities, just going, Lord, and then just charging people, take this 6 months before the Lord and take it before him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is my portion, young or old, all of us as a community, God, how can we go after this and make a mark in your region for the Lord? And so I want to go into some scriptures now, and I know we're crunched on time, guys, but these scriptures, you know, if you got your pens out, whoever's journaling, this is what the Lord gave me. You know, he's a God of justice, and you know, and we're all waiting for Jesus to come back, and he's going to rid the earth of injustice. We know that, but we as his body here in the earth, we're to do justice. This is what the scriptures command us, do justice. Do justice. And it's like going, Lord, how do I do justice? I will show you. So James 1:27, this is kind of where we're just going to start, and we're going to hit probably about eight books here. James 1:27, and I'm going to try to make it as quick as I can, but I really keep your heart engaged, because you can't just say in your head right now, oh, that's a great word for so-and-so. No. This is a great word for you. Young or old, you little guys, you know, you're going to hear this, and God's going to deposit something today, because he's asking his bride, will you partner with me in this last hour, the gathering of these children, these little ones? And so James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, is that we would care for the orphans and widows, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, and to keep them out of the, deliver them out of their distress. That this was, when the Lord brought me to this first scripture, I was like going, what have we turned it into, God? If this is pure and undefiled religion before you, this is right here, God. And in the 20 years of in the church, God, I never once heard this message. If this is true and undefiled religion, then what is it? You know? And I was like, what have we turned it into? He just said, stick with me. We're going somewhere. And then there's Malachi, this prophecy. It's in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And God makes this promise to us. And the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of adoption, they're all together here. But it says, behold, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, he says, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I strike the earth with a curse. And it's like going, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, okay, we all know that we are in that hour. You know, that there was Elijah, and then there is the double portion with Elijah. And then Malachi is prophesying this thing in the last book of the Old Testament, prophesying this. 400 years goes by, and then boom, Gabriel shows up to Zechariah and makes this bold statement to him. He says, and John, the forerunner before Jesus come, and that's the church today, right? We are the forerunners like John in that position. He says, and behold, he said, John will go forth in the power and spirit of Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the ways of the just to make ready a people for the Lord. And it's like going, you look at that, and then boom, and then you go to Malachi, and this is the fulfillment of that prophecy, that the spirit of Elijah comes in Matthew 17 to restore all things. And so we just say, okay, God, if this is the last hour, and we are that church, young or old, this may take 10 years, this may take 20 years, this may take 30, who knows, God, but there is a harvest here that the bride needs to fix their eyes on and say, we will go after them, Father, because your son is worthy. That we would lay down our lives, and I'll never forget the word that the Lord gave me through this. He just says, Denny, you know that you have laid your life down for these little ones. And I'm like going, oh my gosh, Lord, wow. You make that statement to, you know, your disciples, that no greater love than one in the book of John. He says, no greater love does one have that he would lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus is going to the cross, going for all humanity. And he said, and then he makes that statement to me. He says, Denny, you have laid your life down for these little ones, the fatherless. Laid your life down. It's like, oh, wow, you're right, Lord. There's no break. You know, there's no coming for a couple hours and then, you know, you get a break from it. It's like, no, it's 24/7, all night, all day, you know. And it's like, my little ones were up last night at 3 a.m. and the night before at 3 a.m. and the night before, they're going, I need sleep. So anyways, this is something that your pastor, he's going to cultivate this. For sure. I mean, I know they've adopted, and this is where the Lord knit our hearts, you know. But Isaiah chapter 1, we can go over there. But write these down, Malachi, Isaiah chapter 1. And these are the things that the Lord was just speaking to me along the way here about to do justice. And Isaiah 1, which is that whole chapter, is that'll mess you up, that whole chapter. You know, talking to Israel, but yet, you know, you ask, hey, what about the fatherless? What are you doing about this stuff? But we're going to focus on 17, where it says, learn to do good, seek justice, Isaiah 1:17. Rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow. Now, the word defend means to resist an attack being made on somebody. This is what the Lord said. He says, defend them. It's like, defend them. Well, what does that mean, to defend them? He says to resist the attack being made on them. Now, Satan is after the children, if we haven't figured that out yet. If he can't get them in the womb through abortion, because he's after that intercessor, he's after the prophet, just like he was with Jesus, just like he was with Moses, he's after him. He's after the teacher, the preacher, the evangelist, you know. He's after him. If he can't get him here, then let's run him down that foster care trail and let's mess him up a little bit, you know, or in an orphanage somewhere, or just the fatherlessness that's in the nation. And so we just say, Lord, how do we approach this? Lord, this is powerful. How can I defend them? Not only do we defend them in prayer, but we defend them in the doing. Psalm 82. I'm going to skip a few here because I know we're pressed on time here. Are we doing good, guys? Everybody, we got your attention here? Preach on. I'll take that for another 10 minutes. No, just kidding. So Psalm 82 says this. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. That's us. He stands in the congregation of us. Verse 2, he asks you and me a question. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? He asks you and me that question. How long are you going to judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Well, you say, how does that apply? You say, well, doing nothing is wicked. Doing nothing about it is wickedness to the Lord. It's like, because we know this is going on. We know it's happening, and we can't just sit by and just say, well, we know that's going on. We're just waiting for the Lord to come back, and he's going to rid the earth of that. He just says, absolutely truth. But what are you going to do while you're there? And it's like going, oh, wow, oh, wow. So that question there, that buckled my knees, you know, because James 4:17 just says, he who knows to do good and does nothing is counted to him as sin. And it's like going, oh, my goodness, Lord. Then verse 3 says, defend, there's that defend word again, resist an attack being made on somebody. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. There's that justice word. Do justice. Defend. And then he says right here, deliver the poor and needy. Free them from their situation. So this right here says, defend them, deliver them, and do justice. And it's like going, wow. And you look at it and say, God, this is a huge word. And he says, yeah, I know, but you watch what I do if you say yes to it. I'll partner with you. I mean, his loyalty to us, his commitment, he just says, come on, you're not partnering alone. You're not going to run this alone. Come on, I got you. We're going to run after this. And so Psalm 10, Job 29, we don't have time to go into those, but I want to jump right over, and we're going to get into Matthew 18, and we're going to finish up on 25. Matthew 18 talks about whoever receives one of these little ones and receives me. And that's right here in verse 5. Okay, you receive them in. These encounters I was having in my house were off the charts, driving this man to repentance, going, oh my gosh, Lord. Oh my gosh. We don't receive these little ones in, and we calculate the cost before, and then we just say no. And so when we get over to verse 18, Jesus says this. He says, take heed that you do not despise these little ones. Because basically he's saying, because their angels, their angels report to my Father in heaven. He says, take heed that you do not despise. This is what despise means. Despise means to regard as unworthy of one's interest or concerns. And you're just like going, whoa, wait a minute here. Despise, don't despise them. You want them my interest. You want them my concerns. Bingo. And it's like, oh my goodness, Lord. Because again, this was not on my radar, but God was opening my eyes to this justice, opening my eyes to the fatherless, the orphans, these ones that are innocent, and then taking me right over, and we're gonna finish up here on Matthew 25. Where, I mean, we've heard these scriptures preached before, but the Lord was bringing this to the fatherless. I mean, this is a huge sliver of that fulfillment of that prophecy, a huge sliver of it. I mean, because we know the fatherlessness that has stricken the land. I mean, we need to be on the father, on these fathers, and calling them into their position for this last hour. And I've been praying for you guys since we sealed it. You know, we're doing it. It's like, Lord, break in. Lord, break our hearts, Lord. Get into the families. Get into the marriages, Lord. Let's do it here. Why not? And so, Matthew 25, And I was already speaking about this at the beginning. It's basically Jesus coming back in all his glory, and all of his holy angels are with him. I mean, this is where he's coming back. And he's gathering all of them. He puts the sheep on his right hand, and he puts the goats on his left. And then Jesus is, he's making this statement here. And as I'm reading this and he's birthing this, I'm just like going, oh my gosh, Lord, this is exactly what you were speaking to me. Because when you get on to verse 35 here, and he starts speaking that language that I already shared with you. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you brought me in." And I'm like going, I'm doing this every day. Every day, God. Feeding. Giving a drink of cold water. Now, I get it, and I'm not belittling any of the other ministries. It's needed. The street work. Been there, do that. The jails. Been there, done that. Do that, you know. I'm not belittling any of this. But God was saying, will you look at this? This is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi. This is happening now. And like your pastor said, this is a now word for you, for this congregation. We just say, okay, let's take this before the Lord and let's just see, what are we going to do? Do we have families in here that the Lord's stirring their hearts about adoption? Are there family, are there intercessors? You know, the money people, get out your wallets. Here. Hey, take this. It's just going to sit anyways, you know, and pay for adoption because it can get expensive. He was bringing it down to bringing a stranger in. I mean, we didn't know these girls. It's like, oh, wow, they were strangers, and then we brought them in. And my wife and I, we often think, where would these three be if we had said no? They're all five now. Well, Liren just turned six, so a six-year-old just turned six a couple weeks ago, and 2 5-year-olds. Beautiful jewels from the Lord. Jewels. and you know, and it goes down here about being in prison. You know, and then you came and visited me, and when you're sick, you know, that, you know, those scriptures there. And it's like going, and the Lord just speaking to me, he says, Denny, they sit in a prison of an orphanage. They sit in a prison of a foster care system, and their cry is being heard from heaven. He said, give me justice. Why am I sitting here when we are the answer to their cry? It's that clear. We're the bride. We're the answer to the cry. And God just says, I'm going to awaken my bride in this last hour, and you see what I do. There's a movement coming in the earth, and what a glorious thing. We get to partner with him in this. What an honor. I was like, it really is this easy, isn't it, Lord? It really is. It's just taking care of a baby and some kids. And that you would go into this and put your heart right on the altar of the Lord and say, God, I know I'm this age, it doesn't matter. I know I'm this age, it doesn't matter. You say, God, there's my heart. What do you want to do with it? And he says, oh, perfect. I've been waiting for that. For this subject in the earth, you know, the harvest of these little ones. And we get to partner with him. And it's an honor that we can just say, God, Jesus, here's your inheritance. 3 souls won for the Lord. And my wife and I, we're adopting again. We're going for it again. We just say, Lord, let's just do this. And we're going to run with our might until he comes back. And so this was the heart of your pastor. I mean, we so connected at that table. And you know, he's going, oh, wow. And I'm over here and I'm going, oh, wow. You know, we're best shifting stories back and forth. And it brings us right back to Orphan Justice Center. You know, I met Nicole there. And we were just working the door, volunteers. And it's just like the Lord just strategically timing, boom, 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 in here, boom, the message is released. So, again, we're done with this, but I want to pray over you. And I want to ask the Lord to give us his heart on this subject. Because this is dear to him. And we just say, okay, Lord, how do we move forward in this? Because it's a strong word. It's a very strong word. And you say, oh, well, heck, I'm in my 80s. What am I going to do now? It's not about, I'm only 10. What can I do? It's not about that. It's about you hearing the voice of the Lord. And we just say, God, while this is here on the earth, we will get right in the middle of this and give these children justice. So every eye closed. I want to pray. How about everybody stand? Can everybody stand? Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, we This is a first-time message probably for many, or maybe not. I don't know. You know God. We will not belittle this any longer, God. God, we give you our yes today. Give him your yes, whatever that looks like to you. Well, actually to him, because he knows what you can handle. I mean, God is raising up in this last hour an army, his bride, that we would defend them. A sea of families that are going to say, yes, we'll do this, Father. He's raising up a sea of families that will get ready in the mail. He's raising up judges and attorneys, adoption agencies. He's raising up families that say, you know what? God's given me a dream about this. Mothers and fathers, those that God is speaking to you about adoption. He's already been speaking to you about this. Maybe now's the time. Maybe this was the confirmation. Like my wife said, she says, I'm the go-to person. She is. She can navigate you to all red tape and all that kind of stuff. We have books over there, The Spirit of Adoption, that you can read up on this stuff. We're working very closely with an adoption agency. They said, send them. We'll navigate them. We'll do whatever we can. So give him your yes even right now. Just say, God, you have my yes. God, I say yes all over again. Lord, with these little ones, Lord, we need strategies from heaven, Lord. How do we do this, Lord? This is overwhelming when we think about this, God. But one matters. One matters to the Lord. Father, I'm asking that you would pour out your Spirit on every heart even right now. That these scriptures would be a meditation on the hearts of the people, God. That you would give them fresh revelation, God, more than what they heard today, God. That you would download us, God, with more revelation on this, God. What we can do in our own community, God. It's right in our own backyard. The Father is not letting us look past this anymore. The babies that are in the womb that are being aborted, he's not letting us look past that anymore. Innocent blood on the land. He wants us to get in the middle of this. I know he will give you direction. There's no doubt in my mind. He's committed to us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God, I'm asking right now that you stir every heart, young and old, in this place. Married couples, Lord. We ask for a fresh revelation from heaven, Lord, that we would hear clearly, Lord. What should we do? Jesus, what an honor it is to partner with you in the earth, God, for the fulfillment of this prophecy. Lord, we say yes. All over again, we say yes. Lord, bless this congregation, Lord. Touch every couple here, young and old. God, I'm asking for you to touch every person right now. Heal their bodies right now, Jesus. Heal marriages, God. Heal relationships, Lord. There might be some in here even right now saying, my life is a mess. How can I even consider this? He says, I got you. Lord, break in with power even now, young and old, in Jesus' name.